ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, it's 10:02 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 if you want to get in here. The top stories, Carlos Correa, which I told you about. Now, I hate when I do that. Literally, I told you this was happening, that Carlos Correa, but because I hear other guys doing it,
and you don't like the sound
I told
it.
You, you know, but I did. I kind of did.
But you can't be trusted.
No, I don't have a blue check mark.
You don't have anything that says you are who you say you are, so I can't trust you.
That's all. My bio says I like Coors Light.
Yeah, can't trust that guy to actually break news.
No, I like Coors Light.
I love it because I forgot what you had that went the last time something went national. I don't know what it was about, but some people in this town who know of you were like, who have a big follower base, and particularly follower base outside of Houston. This guy's a noted longtime ESPN Houston radio host. He would know, because it wasn't enough that you said it.
No.
Someone who actually had a check mark had to verify who you are, so it was real.
Yeah, I don't care.
I know.
I would have to care, and I don't. Carlos Correa. All right. Over 6.5 years.
He wanted 8 at 25. Yeah. That was allegedly what he wanted. The Astros were at 6 and 20. Do you think they split the difference? Go 7 at 23.5 or whatever, 22.5?
I like it. That's my guess. 7 at 22.5. Now, Lindor is turning down $385 million.
Yeah. At some point, you're like...
But guess what, Carlos? You ain't Lindor.
And is Lindor a $400 million guy? Is that what he's looking for?
He's the best shortstop in the game.
Yeah, but what does that mean as far as affecting winning? And does $400 million over how many years equate to being the best shortstop in the game?
Well, he won in Cleveland. I mean, they won.
What did they... They got to a World Series, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, and he...
Understood. Great player. But how much is like...
Did Lindor get to a World Series? I don't think...
Wasn't he on that Cleveland team that blew it to the Cubs? Was he on that team?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Baseball guy. Thank you.
Baseball guy.
So...
Well, either way. I mean, they won. They were in the playoffs every year. He's huge.
It's more about... It's when you figure out that he is worth $400 million. Where's the number... What stat leads you to believe that that guy is worth it? Like, Mike Trout is worth every penny, right? And the Angels don't win.
Right. No question. No, but Mike Trout is in a different deal. Mike Trout is our Babe Ruth.
If Mike Trout is worth every penny and can't, because it's baseball, it's more than one guy, can't elevate his team to anything, why would you pay Lindor that much?
Well,
go pay multiple guys.
Well, you got, but see, here. I mean, was Deshaun worth that with a 4-1 team? Yeah. I mean, there's instances in basketball. How many guys, really good players, are getting paid and they're not winning?
Well, maybe
Luka.
Well,
Luka's worth it.
Well, Luka's on a rookie deal.
He's going to be worth that max deal he gets.
Understood. But Andre Drummond's not worth it, and he's getting paid.
But he's not for Lindor or.
Well, it's just a point of at some point you're like, look, we understand you're a great player, but maybe we distribute this wealth amongst 4 really good players, and we're better off if they have any spending constraints.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are the Mets?
I mean, look at today. I mean, Lance McCullers is a $17 million pitcher. He has 11 decisions a year. Wins 11 decisions.
We'll go back to the example you always use. The Mariners got much better when their high price guys. left. Now, this is a long time ago.
Yeah, but that was, okay, that was what? Alex Rodriguez.
Well, he's a great player, right?
Yeah,
at the time?
He's a great player, but he's also Alex Rodriguez.
What does that mean? He was the Alex Rodriguez back then? When he was the young player for the Mariners?
Yeah.
Was he that same guy that he is now?
Yeah, I think.
But it wasn't just him. Didn't they lose?
No, they lost Randy Johnson. They lost Griffey. And they won. They ended up winning 116 games.
Now, you would have to know your farm system, and you have obviously you'd have right. to know things. Guys are coming up, but it just seems like at some point with this Lindor thing is like, great player, but the number is the number.
Well, if you're going to go 385, just go four. I mean,
at some point you get exasperated, right? You're like, come on, man.
Yeah, but
why do you need 400?
These guys, it's all. And you know what? I think with Carlos Correa, it's a. It's a status.
Well, if it's real that it's really almost mostly about making more than Bregman, then yeah, it's I'm the guy here. You're not going to pay me the same.
But he hasn't proven he's the guy. That's the problem.
Well, that's what they asked
are
fighting.
That's the whole problem. When you prove year in and year out, you know, with an OPS over 709 last year or whatever it was, goodness gracious. No. I mean, he's got to play better, and he's got to stay on the field.
Look at this headline from the Post. Mets Francisco Lindor are in a $385 million contract standoff. That's the standoff. $385 million, and they can't come to terms. Insane. Okay, good luck, Mets, because those giant salaries usually work out.
I'll tell you, Tatis is going to regret his deal.
You think? He's certainly, God.
Yeah.
He's getting underpaid as long as he stays healthy. He will be getting underpaid at some point.
Oh wait, he's averaging it averages $23 million a year,
which is what Carlos may come in with.
Right. Yeah, 14-year, $340 million. I mean, that to me, that is going to be ridiculously low for that dude. And, you know, Lance is worried about the years, but I'm worried about. I'm worried about Tatis going, Well, now, you know, it's 24. It averages 24-2. That the guys are getting more than that right now. Are you kidding me? In 10 years from now, what they're going to be getting?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Post article about Lindor. The Mets initially offered them 10 years, maybe not initially, but the most recent one, 10 years, $325 million dollar extension. He countered, according to sources, with a 12-year, $385 million ask. So they're 2 years and $60 million apart. That's a wide gap.
He wants a 12-year deal. He wants to get paid. 12-year deal never works out.
Exactly.
Now Tatis is young enough.
Yeah, Lindor's 27. So either way, they're either going to be paying him that much until he's 37 or in what he wants until he's 39.
He'll probably be playing second base by then.
And will he even be playing every day?
Well, I don't know. You got, I mean, guys play. I don't, they're 39 years old.
Yeah, he's not, is he going to be playing? He's certainly not going to be worth it. And we know the teams weigh that. They go, okay, we have, this is how we get him. And we know the back end's going to be a disaster for us. We just hope we win enough that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you got a guy you can count on for years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what they balance out.
10's enough. Come on, Lindor.
No, give me 12 at 385.
Well, because here's why. Is because he ain't making that kind of money at the end of the deal. If he wants another 30 per on the last 2 years of the deal, I could certainly see that.
Yeah, I know guys love to play, but at 37, aren't you a little just tired?
You ain't tired of making 30 million a year ever.
No, understood. I get that part of it. But you're like if he ended his career at 37.
How are you going to live on that money?
Yeah, you need that extra.
How are you going to live
on
it?
You need that extra 60, right?
Hey, you got to feed his family.
How many people are in this family? Is he feeding the country he came from? What family?
Maybe. Maybe. 10-11 ESPN 97.5. Talking Cougs on the other side. Final four. 713-780. If you've got thoughts on the game. We've given thoughts, but obviously new people coming in and out. So you got any thoughts? 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
This is ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Oh, 10:15 ESPN 97.5. It's Cougs week. Now, Patrick Chastain told me you can, you know what, just talk about the Cougs during my spots. And Marcus Piavola to celebrate the Final Four for the University of Houston from Orleans Seafood. He brought us up all kinds of etouffee and blackened catfish and seafood gumbo. What?
All for the Cougs, babe. All for the Cougs.
How about them Cougs? You see, we get to eat good when the Cougs go to the Final Four.
That's all right.
Let's do that some more.
So when they beat Baylor, more food.
Next week, you're going to bring more food.
When they beat Baylor.
When they beat Baylor.
That's it.
You're not worried about it a little bit?
Not worried about anything.
You're not worried about it even a little?
You can't, right?
No, you can't worry about it, but they're pretty good.
Well, you can be concerned, but not worried. Is that the same thing?
I like Kelvin Sampson. I mean,
unbelievable the way they attack the boards.
Dude, listen, they're maybe the least talented team left. They're the least talented team left.
Well, you don't really think of outside shooting.
No.
But you think of defense, rebounding. They do a great job.
No, but they're the most tenacious of the teams left.
I agree.
Gonzaga's the most talented. Baylor's right there as well. But this is so much, so cool. You can watch. Everybody's going to watch it at Orleans?
I hope so. Come on.
Oh, yeah. 4 o'clock. I mean, four o'clock game.
What excitement.
Yeah.
Since five slammer jam, it's crazy.
So I got to ask you this because I came to your place last week and crawfish was just outstanding, and I got some blackened catfish as well and some gumbo. I don't know. The crawfish keeps getting bigger and bigger every year, doesn't it?
They're doing good. They're doing about this time of year is when they're really getting big. But it's been a challenge this year for some reason. Crawfish, they decide to stay in the mud, I guess, or something.
Well, wasn't the cold?
The cold didn't help at all.
That didn't help at all.
Didn't help at all. But they're making a comeback. They're good. They're getting
bigger. But, I mean, people are crazy for crawfish now.
I'm telling you, we start getting phone calls in December. And usually, you know, back in the day, crawfish didn't really start until after Fat Tuesday.
Right.
December, they'd get phone calls.
And then you see, when did you start getting them in?
We finally started, I think, the third week of January.
Oh, January.
Yeah.
Finally. When, you know, that's
it was hard. Yeah, it was hard at first. It was hard at first, and then the freeze came. But there's plenty now.
You open up. Now, it's so seasonal, but you're still doing good outside the crawfish season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like this.
Not like this.
No.
Crawfish season, it just gets crazy.
So, yeah, I mean, because I went there, and there's a lot, you know, you guys do a great job getting to everybody through there as fast as possible. But it's just, people are going nuts for this. They're nuts.
We've been blessed, John. I think I told you last week, the support's been great. Everybody out in Katy, really all over Houston. So we've been blessed.
Yeah.
They're very thankful. You know, this past year has been crazy, like everybody knows. Kind of like relearning the business of to goes, but very thankful.
Yeah, you had to shut down and you just did to go orders.
To go only, and I'm telling you, we've always done to goes, but to do 100% to go was such a challenge. But all of our employees pulled through, and like I said, the response, the support's been great.
Did you? I talked to Nick about this, but he had a hard time getting people back because they were getting their checks and nobody wanted to work anymore. Did you find that too?
We had. You know, it wasn't bad. No. It wasn't bad. We were very fortunate because, we were busy. I mean, we kind of stayed busy. We kept most of our employees the whole time. So our employees have been great.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't. We heard horror stories like that, or we heard stories like that, I should say. And but our employees were great. You know, everybody pulled together, and we all worked as one. We got it done.
Yeah. I was asking earlier how your name is your name Piavlopoulos?
Back in the day, there was an S.
There was an
S. So somewhere down the line, yes. Down the line, we dropped the S.
What does that mean in Greek? Paiavla.
Is it some kind of paella? Serve Cajun food.
Go get your crawfish at Orleans Seafood Kitchen.
That's it.
That's what it means. That is great stuff. Marcus Paiavla right here on ES. And get out there. If you haven't been there, it's at West Green?
West Green. I-10 and West Green.
I-10 and West Green. And it is just spectacular. I went there last week. I got the blackened catfish with the crawfish on top.
Oh, that's right. You got the catfish Orleans.
Yeah. And I got the gumbo, too, and then I got crawfish, too. So it's just fantastic. And you do to go. I mean,
We do curbside. We do to go, curbside, and dining. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have it all covered.
All of it. That's the best. Hey, man, we appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
Man, thank you, Marcus Piavla. Orleans Seafood Kitchen out in Katy. They do an unbelievable job. The crawfish is excellent and spicy. And spicy, and which is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Right? There's a lot of places that don't spice it up like you do. Which is, you can talk about them.
I think they like to load up the spice on the outside. For us, it's all about the soak.
Inside.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right. Yep. That's right. Yep. Great stuff. Marcus, we appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Thank you, John. We'll see you when the Cougs beat Baylor.
That's it. He's coming back when the Cougs beat Baylor. Hey, listen, I know you guys are worried about us eating over here. So they don't worry anymore. Marcus brought us Orleans Seafood Kitchen, took care of us. All right. So just so you know, I mean, I know you all were worried whether or not me and Lance would eat today. Okay. And Dell, I tried to get Dell not any.
He brought too much for you to freeze me out. There's too much food for you to freeze me out.
I know, right?
There's like a meal for, like, we have a meal for lunch and dinner if we each wanted to take one. They're doubled.
I told him for six, and look what he did.
Well, he's brought tons of bread. Well, he brought six full meals, right?
Yeah.
So that's one for each of us if we wanted dinner.
Unbelievable.
But we won't do that, right?
All right, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. Okay, so talking about these guys, Dell, the problem is going to be, thanks, Marcus. The problem is going to be if you shut down Butler, how do you shut down the rest of the guys? I mean, Teague is a scorer. Mitchell off the dribble is fantastic. Mitchell off the dribble is just unbelievable. And Flagler can score. And Mayer can score. And I mean, it's guy after guy after guy. The Cougs have not seen this year.
No, and that's what makes Baylor who they are.
Only if you've played Baylor or Gonzaga have you seen something like
that. We saw Gonzaga take apart USC, and I wasn't surprised by that. I was surprised that Michigan didn't win handily. In fact, clearly they didn't even win. So that was the surprise for me. But yeah, what Houston's going to see is a team that is one of the best teams in the country, and they're going to have to play. Look, Baylor can have a bad day, and Houston can win that game. But they're going to have to play at a level that they haven't reached before. At least they haven't had to play consistently yet to win that game. That's why Baylor's really good. You can't, if you shut down one guy, there are two other guys on a given night. We saw you saw Michigan have success against everybody but one guy, and it was enough to beat them. In terms of playing defense, I think Baylor has like two or three guys that if you shut down one, that's okay.
That's all right.
We got an offense that'll feature another person and try to shut that person down.
Well, I can't. How long was Butler out of the game in the second half? He was sitting on the bench, and Davion Mitchell just said, "I'm taking this over." I think he had two first half points, and then it was like, why don't you give this guy the ball more? Why isn't he?
Because our other guy's like, really good too.
Holy crap! But then this guy is good, and then you kick it out to Teague, and he's knocking everything down. It's gonna be tough.
It should be. This is look at where they're at.
Yeah.
They're playing for a potential national title. It should be tough.
I know, but I like the road.
I know you like the road.
You know what? They should have UCLA, the 11 seed. I mean, that's who they should be playing in this round.
Should have been on the other side.
They should have been on the other. Wouldn't that be something if they were playing the 11 seed again?
Well, they would have had to go through who? Gonzaga to get there, though.
No. If they matched it up this way.
Oh yeah,
if they paired it up. If by chance UCLA was on their side,
another double digit seed to get to the title game.
That would have been totally sweet. Yeah. While Gonzaga and Baylor are playing each other.
Well, at some point you have to play an elite team, and they get them in the semifinal.
Well, you know what though? I mean, this has been all year long, and I heard AJ talking about it. He thinks it's Gonzaga and then everybody else, which he may be absolutely right.
So far,
right.
It's looked that way.
Mid-season, I was. Honestly, we were in here and we're talking about it's Gonzaga and Baylor. It's going to be a showdown and we'll see who wins and blah, blah, blah. Baylor kind of had hit it a bit of a, not a bit of a struggle, but, you know, they obviously Gonzaga hasn't hit any wall whatsoever. No. Baylor lost a couple of games, and so you were like, Kansas lost, the Oklahoma State lost.
And it's the dominance of Gonzaga's victories.
Yes. I mean, how many double-digit wins do they have this year? 26 or something? Whatever the case may be. This is the way that it's supposed to be. This is why you got the number one overall seed on this side, number mm-hmm. two overall seed on this side, because they're supposed to meet in the final game.
Yeah.
I'm not conceding the Cougs yet, but people, if they beat this team, this is North Carolina State beating Five Slam.
It's funny you say that, and then if it goes the way we expect in the other game, they'll see an even better team.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So the
I don't even want to think of what. What?
Well, if you're in the title game, if you're playing a great team, so be it. You've reached the ultimate goal. It's funny how it'll ramp up that you went from teams who were either on heaters or were the product of upsets in their games, and that's how your matchups took place. And now you play possibly the two best teams in the country back to back if you want to win a national title. And I think Calvin Sampson would be like, okay, we'll take that deal.
We'll do that. No, you know what? Whatever. You know what? Just you got to play them, and you got to play the best. You're gonna be the best. You got to beat the best.
Although, I mean, what would you be okay if a couple of Baylor players get put in some protocols?
What? No.
Not sick.
No.
But protocols. No?
No.
I've heard your theories on things before. You wouldn't be okay if one of those players, like, yeah, he's been put in a 7-day quarantine. Sorry, can't play in the game. Like Kim Mulkey's disaster scenario takes place in a couple player. Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying they have COVID.
No, but then you'd have we got all our titles have asterisks.
Oh, well, do you care about the 17 championship?
No. Nope.
All right, then. What do we care?
And then if the whole Gonzaga team
play. Well, not the whole. Now, we've seen before the tournament, they said if you catch it, if your team has COVID, the other team just advances. We saw that with the VCU. Was it
DC
and Oregon
for the championship?
Would they actually do that, or
no,
they just
wouldn't.
Wait?
They'd hide it.
Yeah, they'd hide it.
I don't know. I thought they hiding it.
Would they push it back a week?
It's got to be 2 weeks.
Well, it depends on how many players. But you're right. Yeah, let's remove that from the equation.
Oh my gosh.
Well, Kim Mulkey will see.
If on Sunday
if we find
they test
out
positive,
about a championship, the championship game has a couple players from the opposing team.
That gets buried.
You
There's
think so?
No chance. That gets buried.
Absolutely
no chance.
You're probably right.
And it'll be rip that up. Throw it in.
What test? We don't. Would they? I know they're doing daily. You think after the semifinal they don't test? Like, look, we made it this far. We're not testing anymore. Right.
Yeah. Well, Kim Mulkey is right. That should have happened, but she got killed.
Of course she did.
She got destroyed by the
it's funny.
By the COVID police.
I keep saying it's funny. You watch the video of her talking. She's having trouble putting on the mask, and people are like, of course this woman doesn't.
And she had it. She had COVID.
Yeah, of course this woman is
against it. Well, you know what,
though?
She had COVID, and she's pro-COVID, so, okay.
Well, she's not pro-COVID.
Well, to me, she sounded like she was
She just would like these games to take place without the threat of teams being punished or hurt for things out of their control.
Right. You think this Misty that wants to talk about Deshaun is...
You think it's Eric Wong's girl or someone else?
We'll find out on the other side. Right now, though, look, no one's perfect, all right? In everything that we do, there's imperfections. Everything. And you just have to deal with it. Or you can fix it. If your car isn't running well, if your microwave is broken, whatever. I mean, I don't know if you're going to fix it or buy a new one. Well, you can't buy a new lovemaking machine. What you need is... GetRoman.com/John. GetRoman.com/John. Get a free online evaluation, ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, ships it to you. And here's the deal. Free 2-day shipping, and it's discreet. So no one will know that what you're getting. GetRoman.com/John. It's simple, easy to start. Complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. By the way, you don't have to miss work and all of that stuff. If you have to go to a doctor, then you have to go to a pharmacy, all that stuff that you don't have to do out of the comfort of your home. Go to GetRoman.com/John now. Get $15 off your first month. There's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/John. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, it's 10:31 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Let's see what this is about. Misty is here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Misty.
Say, I got a new kitty cat, and I was wondering if I should name it Hitler or Decaw Watson.
Do you understand?
I didn't hear anything.
Not a word.
No. What did you say, Misty?
I said, I just got a new kitty cat.
I just said, I got a new kitty
cat. You can't say that word.
Yeah, she just said, I got a new kitty cat.
I thought she said, oh. I can't understand. I thought she said the T word. I can't understand her.
I got a new kitty cat.
And what do you want to name your kitty cat?
What are you naming your kitty cat?
I need your help. Yes, Hitler or
DeClaw
Watson.
Hitler or DeClaw Watson. What do you think, John? What's the best name for a kitty?
Hitler's a bad thing. Just walking around saying Hitler.
Kittler.
Oh, Kittler.
Yeah.
Even still, if it rhymes with Hitler, it's no good.
Yeah. And DeClaw Watson?
DeClaw Watson. DeClaw.
I don't think you should. I don't think you should name them either. That's a bad name for the cat.
I don't know. If there's a choice between Deshaun and.
Name the cat Abigail or something. I don't know. Give it a name.
Don't name your kitty anyway.
You don't give cats names?
Don't. No.
I
don't think she means that.
Why would you even think to name it Kittler?
Yeah, because it's got a little mustache.
And DeClaw Watson, though?
I don't know.
How does that one play?
I don't know what that one means. I don't know. I'm just saying. It's Misty.
You're not supposed to declaw your kittens anyway. It's bad for them, I believe.
Well, if they're house cats, it's fine.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was not good for the cat to do that.
I don't give a rat's ass. I know you. I don't want him scratching up all my stuff.
You're not a proponent. I know.
Oh, really? You want him scratching up all your stuff? No.
Then don't have one if you're worried about that.
Guess what I don't have?
Exactly. That. See, you know what you've done? You made a decision not to have one.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the decision you make, not deform them.
That's not deformed.
Taking their claws.
Do you cut
out?
Your nails? Yeah.
Declaw. I didn't say cut.
Well, no. Well,
that's what she said. Declaw.
Declaw Watson. Who wants to talk about the Cougars? Is that Gilbert?
That's Gilbert, yeah.
Let's get Gilbert in here. What's up, Gilbert? Gilbert. Oh, Gilbert's not there for some reason.
He's been on hold for too long.
He's been on hold. 713-780-3776. Gilbert, call back. Because I did want to hear what Gilbert had to say about the Cougs. He called us yesterday, too. I wanted to talk about the Cougs.
You think you've been slacking on bringing Gilbert on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? He always provides great stuff. We can ask him more about his time in that modeling studio.
How many people out there don't know what that is and don't know who Gilbert is?
Well, Gilbert is our friend of the show. He called in and said he had spent some time during his dark period in a modeling studio, and did he say he was on the bed with someone or a table or something? And you immediately were like, no, because for whatever reason, that conversation's out of bounds for you. It makes you uncomfortable. When I, being the investigative journalist that I am, wanted more information.
Yeah, no. I didn't want anything to do with that. I didn't want to do it.
And I don't understand that.
No. Gilbert, the Gilbert's dark period, I really don't want to hear what it's about, what's going on there.
That's the only thing I want to hear about. I would like this show, the final hour of the show. Look, we can't have Lance on. Lance is very uncomfortable with this stuff. From 10 to 11, we call it the dark hour. And just Gilbert comes on, and every day he gives us one story, and we break it down. It'd be like a podcast. We break down one dark story from that time period, and we get some callers, we ask questions. I think it would be great, but you don't have the vision I have, though.
I don't have the vision for that show.
No.
No, I do not want that show. All right, we mentioned Correa headline. Astros pitchers, good news. Romber's looking great. So we got that. We'll see how long it takes him to get back. We shall see. Scrub is probably mid to late April. Odorizzi is going to be here for the first homestand. That's good news. Baez with the alleged COVID, or we're speculating. No, he's got COVID or whatever. He's probably mid to late April as well. So all this stuff is good news. The season starts tomorrow. Richard Justice is going to join us right here on ESPN 97.5. Rafael Stone and named the four players that are the young core. Kenyon Martin Jr., Jayshon Tate, Christian Wood, and Kevin Porter.
How do I feel like half of that core is like, if you're trying to build a good G League team, that'd be part of your
core? I don't
know,
but I think they're role players. How many of those guys will still be here in 3 years?
Depends on if they're valued and you can move them. There's no reason to get rid of them now.
Will they re-sign here? Will they? And oh, by the way, is that a core?
No, it is a nice bone to throw to the young guys. You're playing hard and are helping you try to get through this awful season, and maybe you see something in them. But like Jayshon Tate is 25 years old. I mean, Christian Wood, clearly really good player, and he's in his mid-20s. But Jayshon Tate, I don't know if there's room for much growth. We'll see. He probably is what he is, and what's that? Maybe he turns himself into a legit seventh, eighth man on a good team or something like that?
No. Yeah. He's your new Daniel House.
Yeah. And now, in some instances, maybe Daniel House would be a better player on a team that was deeper, as opposed to, you know, getting starters minutes when he's actually on the floor and healthy. Or in a system built around one guy like James, where he could be a designated, I don't know, wing shooter. But Jayshon Tate, fine player, but he's on a bad team doing things. And how much can you take from that right now?
Right. I mean, who knows what he'll do. He's not going to be on a good team. Jayshon Tate is you're right. Eighth guy.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to say about a guy who's putting in work, probably not causing problems, and playing hard and doing everything you ask.
Mac Jones did not win over the internet with his pro day.
No,
but he missed some throws, and it was like Bill Belichick and Kyle Shanahan's reactions were.
Now, the guys who are doing that today, Ja'Marr Chase, unofficial. Some places have him 4.36, some 4.38, some 4.4. Kyle Pitts looks like he ran a 4.4 as a tight end at 245 pounds.
Justin Fields ran a 4.44.
Yeah. But Kyle Pitts is 245 pounds running a 4.4. Well, he's not a tight end anymore.
No.
That's just, do you think he's one of the best pass catcher / receiver in the draft?
Is he a souped up Jimmy Graham?
Even Jimmy Graham was heavier. He's probably a giant Mike. He's a bigger Mike Evans.
Yeah, but he's not going to be playing outside like that.
Maybe he should. If he's running 4.4s at 245 pounds, maybe the inline tight end stuff, maybe when you got a matchup, but why would
But you lose the ability to block out there.
But as a wide receiver, if you want to, not that he's going to be wide receiver one, but if he's 6'5 plus 400, running a 4.4 at 245 pounds, why wouldn't you make him a wide receiver?
Well, because you want him inside the block.
But he's 245 pounds.
That's why Gronk was so good. That's why.
But Gronk is what, 260?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm saying the reason is because he can go out for passes, but he can also block for you.
Kyle Pitts is an adequate blocker.
I'm saying. But you're wasting that outside.
Not if corners can't cover him.
Yeah, but you're wasting the ability to block.
But his attractiveness isn't because he's a.
No, it's both. It's both. He's a big dude that can catch balls.
He's a big dude who can cause matchup problems because of his size on the outside. And if you put a linebacker on him, he's going to crush him. You probably going to put a safety on him. He's going to crush him.
Listen, don't get me wrong. He probably lines up some outside. But I'm lining him up a bunch inside because he's a threat to go out. And he's also going to be able to block in the run game.
If he's going to run 4.4s, I make him your big slot. And on occasion, put him on the outside and move him all over the field. Yeah, sure. In running stuff, you want him there. but he's going to be undersized for the most part. But sure, if he can hold up, sure.
Well, he can block linebackers and or double team on the end. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I think he's such a freak. He's so unconventional as far as the tight end moniker is what is the thing for him. But if he has all the assets of a wide receiver, great. Move him around, make him a tight end. But in some instances, we saw SEC corners who couldn't cover him. So if whoever drafts him, just don't limit him. Let that dude do everything. If he is what these numbers and that in last year make him out to be.
Yep, yep. 1041 ESPN, 97.5. News of the Weird, coming your way next, right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't you go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
South Australia. Apparently, they have a new slogan, a new travel initiative, Dell. It's South Australia. They're inviting you to go down south with your mouth. Do you want to go down south with your mouth, Dell?
To Australia?
Do you want to go down south with your mouth?
I'm not going to answer.
Is this enticing to you?
I'm not going to answer the question the way you posed it.
Nope,
not going to. I don't care how you're positioning it or presenting it. Going to Australia seems appealing, but I'm not answering the question you're asking.
Do you want to go down south with your mouth?
I would love to go to
Australia.
They're
looking for you to taste the foods of South Australia.
I would love to eat the foods of South Australia.
Okay. Going down south with your mouth again.
I would love to eat the foods of South Australia.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Lindsey Graham says he owns an AR-15 in case of a natural disaster and gangs. Do you think Lindsey Graham might need an AR-15 to handle gangs?
I feel like Lindsey Graham would be doing the same thing he did during the Capitol riots, looking for help. He wouldn't be trying to brandish a weapon. He'd be like, excuse me, there's a lot of angry people coming for me. Can you help me? I feel like that would be consistent. He ain't pulling out the AR-15. Stop it.
Lindsey Graham's going to open up. Lady G's opening up fire, brother.
Okay, sure.
Okay. Speaking of which, women's underwear is going to be provided to female recruits in the Swiss Army. Do you think that they should have women's underwear?
Were they providing them with men's underwear beforehand?
I guess.
Hey, pick it up.
It's an effort to boost recruitment. Hey, come to the Army, and we'll give you ladies' underwear. Do you think Lindsey Graham wants to sign up? No.
That's you.
I didn't say nothing.
You asked that question. I'm not answering it. I would hope that the Swiss Army, I would have hoped they have, you know, moved to that before. But at least progress is being made. Hey, your women recruits get the opportunity to wear women's underwear. Great. That should have been done as soon as it became a thing for women to be in the military. Give them women's underwear.
Yeah.
Seems like an easy thing.
No. Everybody gets the same underwear. You're not getting that lacy stuff.
I don't know if they meant lacy. It could be women wear cotton underwear, don't they?
That's good. I like that.
It's not about what you like, though.
I like it a little bit. Anchorage Costco has customers who are complaining. They say ravens are stealing their groceries in the parking lot. Do you think this is a Gilbert situation? That they're just blaming the blackbirds?
So seagulls could possibly be doing it too, but not getting the blame?
Right. But no. It's the blackbirds that are doing it. The ravens.
Oh, John's not just pulling that out of somewhere. If you don't know, the Gilbert that we mentioned before has accused multiple unnamed, unidentified African Americans of stealing his bike. Consistently. The man has apparently had 9 bikes stolen, and he alleges that an African-American man stole it every time. No, I don't think it's racism for birds. I think it's probably a lot of ravens taking their groceries.
I don't know.
Not everyone's like Gilbert.
You don't know. In Anchorage? A lot of white people up there.
And you think they've taken it to blaming birds? That's how deep it goes? You're showing a lot of disrespect for Alaska right now. A fine people.
No, you don't know.
You don't know either. So we're both in that category.
Chipotle. Tomorrow is National Burrito Day, Del.
And I wouldn't go to Chipotle for that.
Chipotle is giving away burritos, and not only burritos, but Bitcoin. They're giving away $100,000 worth of Bitcoin on Thursday. Tomorrow, to celebrate National Burrito Day. Are you going to go get a burrito and $100,000 worth of Bitcoin?
No, there are other places that the Bitcoin is more attractive than the burrito from Chipotle. How do you pick up the Bitcoin? Do you have to sign up on their app or something? What happens? You don't know.
I don't care.
Read the headline.
I don't care. I'm not doing it.
You don't know.
I'm just not doing it. That's all. I don't care about it.
I would if it was an easy thing to get, not the burrito. That can whatever.
In total, 53 people could actually win the Bitcoin. 50 fans will win $500 in the cryptocurrency, and 3 will win $25,000, and 10,000 fans will win one burrito.
And there's no explanation of how you get it.
Part of the command, players are successful. 10 attempts. Oh, you got to do something. To win, Chipotle fans can visit the website burritosorbitcoin.com launching Thursday to try to guess a valid 6-digit code.
Okay.
Each player gets 10 tries during the contest, which runs from noon to 9 p.m. Eastern.
So there's a chance no one wins the money then, or the
correct
Bitcoin.
Guesses could win up to $25,000 in Bitcoin or a free burrito, as Chipotle is also giving away $100,000 in food.
Man, if I get one of those...
You've got to guess 6 numbers?
If I get the numbers and I get a burrito in return? Exactly. So there's a chance no one wins.
Well, they think they're going to give away... I don't know.
Look,
I guess odds are you will give away.
It
sucks that...
If you guess the 6...
You're making me work. Just let me walk in and give me the Bitcoin.
Well, we know how it works here. When we tell people they have to work for a prize, no one calls in.
No one does.
Yeah. If I guess 6 numbers and all I get is a burrito, I'm going to be so pissed.
I know, right? Guess 6 numbers?
And I'm getting a burrito?
Stop.
I got Orleans. Why do I need your burrito?
Marcus came with Orleans seafood.
I got enough food for tomorrow, and I'm going to guess for a burrito? Beat it, Chipotle.
Beat it. Game of Thrones, going to be a Broadway play, Del. You going?
Nah. I hate random singing for no reason. I hate it. Like, even in TV shows, like, I remember, you know, in Disney, that's part of their deal growing up. You didn't notice it so much. The songs became popular. They won Oscars. But going back, because I got Disney Plus, mostly for the Marvel stuff, if I flip on a Disney movie and there's random singing, I'm out. I hate it. Why are you singing?
Well,
you just stepped
out
of your house. Why are you singing?
I don't think you're. Are you assuming there's singing in it?
In Broadway? Yes.
No, there's not. All Broadway plays aren't singing.
There's going to be singing in Game of Thrones.
Are you sure?
I'm going to put
during the Call of History, the contest that took place. The play will, for the first time, take audiences deeper behind the scenes of a landmark event that previously was shrouded in mystery. Featuring many of the most iconic and well known characters from the series, the production will boast a story centered around love, vengeance, madness, and. And not all Broadway plays are singing.
I'm putting it on singing for this one.
Song of Ice and Fire, and now at last, we can tell the whole story on the stage. I don't know that it's going to be singing.
We'll see.
There's no singing, are you going?
No. No, I don't care that much. I'm looking, because Spider-Man was a play. And I want to know if there was singing in Spider-Man. Because there might have been. Oh, Spider-Man the musical, so of course there was singing. Yeah.
That's a musical.
I don't care about plays. And if there's a chance of random singing, I'm out.
Yeah.
I hate it. I feel like it's stupid. There's no point in it.
Baltimore is going to have a lower crime rate, Del. They're insuring it.
They're just going to stop arresting people?
They're going to stop prosecuting.
Well, yeah.
For crimes like drug possession and pooping in public. Do you want to go to Baltimore and get on the street and start pooping?
I would like them to enforce the pooping in public rule even harder or stronger.
No, they're not.
I know, but that's my request. The drug thing, okay, fine. But can we give people 5 years for pooping in public? Can we prosecute to the fullest extent of the law?
No, pooping in public now is no longer, you can just poop in public wherever you want.
Nah. Look, if you're on a run, okay, that's one thing. Because running will get the innards working. If you're just walking around and you can't find a place, 5 years in the clink.
Compared to the United States average, you are more than 10 times more likely to be murdered or robbed in Baltimore. nearly four times as likely to be assaulted, almost three times more likely to be a victim of burglary.
Well, they want to change those numbers. Stop prosecuting murders. Bring those numbers down.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the number you want.
You're bringing down the wrong numbers. Pooping and drug arrests don't keep people out of your city. If people hear you have a high murder rate, they don't want to live there. Stop prosecuting murders.
Appears that people are putting their vaccination cards up on social media, Del.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being the victims of identity theft.
People are so dumb. Why would you provide anyone on the internet any information about yourself? It's so stupid. Look, you get your card stolen, the number from your card, just by going to what you thought was a secure site. And you want to put actual information about yourself online? You deserve it. You deserve everything you get for being dumb. I know you want to tell people you got vaccinated. You're trying to, either you're doing it for hype or you're trying to, you know, activate people to do it themselves. Cover everything, but saying you have a card. Stop it.
I don't know that this is possible. In Prescott Falls, New York, a 7-year-old is being accused of rape.
Oh, well, I don't know the dealings of it.
That's a little, but you're starting a little young there.
Well, I don't know the particulars of the case, but I guess anything is possible.
That's not a good future.
No.
Now, what'd you do when you were 7?
That's not the type of story we're looking for.
No, that is not.
What's wrong with you?
But that's terrible.
That's not weird. That's just awful.
That's kind of weird.
It's awful is what it is. And it brings me down. That's not how this segment's supposed to go.
No. Okay. Here's the last one. Experts warn, don't kiss someone who has COVID. Dell.
What kind of warning is that? Who needs that warning?
Do you think that people should kiss people who have COVID?
What do they look like?
That's the question.
Like maybe you
she's
chance
hot.
Maybe
she's hot. I don't know how you're gonna stop it.
Maybe you chance COVID if the person you're trying to kiss is attractive.
I don't know how you're gonna stop if she's hot.
I'm not gonna ask you because you know you have the love of your life, so you always default to that. Let's say 21-year-old Granado and COVID was a thing.
I wouldn't care.
It depends on who you're talking to.
Well, it depends on what kissing leads to. If
the girl goes, this stops at kissing. Then you're not chancing COVID.
No, thanks. Not interested.
Okay.
1055 ESPN 97.5. Now more than ever, you can count on Texas Mattress Makers for your best night's sleep. Texas Mattress Makers keep their promise to give you handcrafted, custom-fitted mattresses while keeping their prices low for you and your family. Shop local and confidently online at TexasMattressMakers.com or visit one of their 4 showrooms in Katy, The Woodlands, East Downtown Houston, or Baybrook. I got all my mattresses from Uval and Texas Mattress Makers. You should too. TexasMattressMakers.com. We're done. Charlie Pulido next, right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.